Just sit back and relax. You'll be royally entertained, for it's time for Hollywood's Open House. Hello, everyone. This is Jim Amici inviting you once again to 30 minutes of pleasure and entertainment at Hollywood's Open House. Swell entertainment by great entertainers. Listen to the music of Ray Block and his orchestra. Our array of guest stars with songs by Noble and King, comedy by Lou Parker, and our special dramatic guest from Hollywood, Diana Barrymore. Jim Amici, your host of Hollywood's Open House, inviting you to a house full of entertainment with the vocal orchestrations of Noble and King, the pranks and prancings of our comedy guest, Lou Parker, the dramatic performance of our Hollywood guest, Diana Barrymore, and, of course, to start the proceedings in proper order, the music of our own Ray Block and his orchestra with The Girl I Left Behind. Ladies and gentlemen, as our next guest, we bring you a young man who has, at long last, received the recognition he merits. A young man who's been acclaimed by the New York critics as the outstanding comedian of the year. And here he is, the comedy star of such great Broadway musicals as Are You With It? Lou Parker.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, Jim Amici, for that wonderful introduction, although I feel sure it was entirely unnecessary. I imagine most of you folks have seen me many times on the motion picture screen where I go under the name of Margaret O'Brien. It's just like old times being a guest here on Hollywood's Open House.
Why? Have you ever been to Hollywood, Lou?
Why, no, James, but it just so happens that I've written a scenario for motion pictures. You're probably looking at one of Hollywood's outstanding writers.
You don't say so.
Huh?
You don't say so.
I just did say so. Now, wait a minute. What's the matter? You're not going to start arguing with me so early in the program,
well,
are you?
I really didn't mean anything by it, Lou. What's the name of your story?
Well, it's the name of the story is Frank Sinatra Takes a Bath, or Oh My Goodness, I'm Going Insane, There Goes Frankie Down the Drain. Now, the first scene opens on the subway, and our hero is on his way to Coney Island. You see, it's a very chilly day, so he puts his hand in another man's pocket to keep it warm. Happens to make 20 cents on the deal. Now, in the next scene, we see the hero wandering around looking for a place to sleep. Well, he wanders on and finally falls asleep in a cornfield. But when he awakes the next morning, his voice is husky. Like that some cat, right, Jim? Now, he decides to go to a doctor, so he knocks on the door, and the doctor's wife opens the door, and in his husky voice, our hero says, "Is the doctor in?" And she says, "No, come on in." Well, when he finally sees the doctor tells him to take long walks, so he starts eating in cafeterias. There, in one cafeteria, he falls in love with a salad girl, and it's a real garden romance. He's a deadbeat, and she's an old tomato. But after a week or so, his cold is almost gone. In fact, he is beginning to smell again. That can't be right there now. In the next scene, we see our hero fixing the roof on top of his house. And it's while he's fixing it, his foot slips, and he falls off the roof into the incinerator. An old maid is passing by, and she sees him in the incinerator and says, "What a shame. That man is good for 10 years yet." Which just goes to prove, folks, that men are men and women are women, and let's keep it that way. Well, Jim, what did you think of it?
Lou, maybe you should stick to acting. And speaking of acting, how about doing a scene from the great Broadway hit you starred in, Are You With It?
Well, you see, Jim, I really didn't expect to be called on.
Oh, well, if you're not prepared.
But you talked me into it. Jim, I'll have to ask you to be my supporting cast.
You're fine, Lou.
All right, now, the scene takes place in a public park. You're seated on a park bench. You see, I don't know you, and I'm financially embarrassed and want to remedy that situation by selling you an imaginary mop. This mop is just imaginary. Lights, music, action. Hello. Hello! Didn't mean to frighten you, neighbor. Sit down, sit down. I just didn't want to pass you up. Now, you look like the intelligent type, and I'm conducting a survey.
A survey?
Yes. Now, the question for today is, can you spare a quarter?
Oh, I get it. I get it. You're a panhandler.
Please. I like to think of myself as a businessman with a minimum of operating costs. Now, to prove my point, let's say I just sold you a brass cuspidor for the lowly price of 25 cents.
But I never use a cuspidor.
Never use a cuspidor? Then I better sell you a mop.
A mop?
Yes, and boy, are you lucky. I just happen to have one left. There, isn't that a beautiful mop?
But I
oh, don't let that bother you. That's just a little nick got damaged in the warehouse. You see, the point I'm trying to make is this, neighbor. Suppose I did sell you this mop for the lowly price of 25 cents. Naturally, you got to take the mop home, and what happens? You throw the mop over your shoulder, you start walking down the street. As you turn the corner, the handle of the mop hits the fire alarm box, breaks the glass, and sends in an alarm. Unaware that you have sent in an alarm, you continue on your way. You reach the next corner, you step off the curb, and what happens? The fire engines are tearing down the street. They're coming nearer, but you don't notice them. They're coming closer. Look out! Are you all right?
Well, I...
Yeah, sure. You're all right. But what about that dog? In order to miss you, the fire engines swerved. They swerved and hit faithful old Rags. There he is, lying in the street. Man's best friend. You kneel down. You speak to him. You say, "Rags. Rags, old boy." But it's too late. You pick him up. But is he dead? No, he bites you and he's got rabies. Start to froth at the mouth. You begin to go mad. You lose your memory. But am I going to stand by and see that happen to you? No, sir. You just give me a quarter, I won't sell you that mop, and you'll avoid all that trouble. And for the lowly price of 2 bits, that's a bargain.
Well, it certainly is. Here's a quarter.
Thanks a lot, pal.
What are you writing down, that little black book?
Got to keep a record. Income tax, you know. So long, bud.
There's no one in the world who doesn't have a secret desire to be able to sing. And we think there's no one in the world who is actually able to sing quite like our two guests. Their names are Francis King and Harry Noble. or as they're better known in motion pictures, theaters, and cafes, Noble and King with their unique vocal impressions. They play and sing their own original number, the Yodel Waltz.
Hand, music, command, must you obey while they play?
So they play behind lonely, lie low, and we dance the lie lonely, lie low.
And we sing the lie lonely, lie low, lie low, till the sound echoes round all the joy in the town. Let's away, love while they may, dawning is not so far away. Good cheer to spare. And
hurry
here, music is playing
hard again. Streams in the air, at the fair the towns all gather.
Warm and sincere, in hearts that burn before each other.
That's all your troubles tears away. Give me your hand, you let command, must be obeyed while it is.
And they play light alone, light alone, light alone, and we dance light alone, light alone,
and we sing the light alone, light alone, light alone. The sound that goes round all the joy in the town, let's away.
Just a moment, we'll return to Hollywood's Open House, starring Diana Barrymore, Lou Parker, Noble and King, and yours truly, Jim Amici. Ever popular in the realm of storytelling is the subject of romance. And it's a story of romance that Hollywood's Open House brings you now, starring our Hollywood guest, the talented dramatic actress, Diana Barrymore. The story, A Love Letter. The star, Diana Barrymore as Lucy, with yours truly, Jim Amici, as Bob.
Dearest Bob, do you realize that this is the first, the very first letter I've ever written to you? You've never been away from me before, not even for one day. We've never been apart before, Bob. That's what makes your being away from me now so hard to believe. Even though I knew you had to go, it didn't seem real. Not the way it's real now. I suppose, my darling, that this is going to be a love letter. I'm not quite sure what a love letter is, except I've always read stories where love letters were found in old trunks, tied all together with pink or blue ribbon. Well, this letter won't ever be found in a trunk, Bob, will it? I hope you won't mind my writing you a love letter. After all, a wife is entitled to write a love letter to her husband if she wants to, isn't she? Now, you'll say I'm being silly or sentimental. I've always smiled to myself when you accuse me of being sentimental, because you know, now be honest, Bob, you know you're the most sentimental man who ever lived. Yes, you are. You've been sentimental ever since the very first time I met you. You remember that first meeting, Bob. Can you believe it was only 3 years ago? Do you remember the dark June evening, the party at the McKesson's? Do you remember the crowds of people all around, the laughter, the music? Do you remember the cool night air on the big, big veranda? Do you remember, Bob, the way you came up behind me so silently and said so softly?
Hello there.
Hello there yourself.
Not lonely out here?
No.
Care if I stay here with you?
No.
Well, care if I don't stay here with you?
No.
Well, that settles that for tonight. Next subject, who are you and why haven't I ever seen you before?
Well, I'm Lucy Evans, and I won't know why you haven't seen me before until I know who you are.
You don't know who I am?
Why, is it a disgrace?
It certainly is. Woman, gaze upon and behold Bob Rogers. That's me.
Oh?
Was that all? Just, oh?
No, there's more. If you're Bob Rogers, you haven't seen me before because you've been away at medical school for the past 4 years, and my family only moved to town 3 years ago.
No reasonable reason. Shall we remedy the delay?
How do we do that?
We dance.
All right, we dance.
You dance very well.
You dance very well.
We dance very well together.
Together?
You look very pretty tonight.
You look very handsome tonight.
We look very pretty and handsome together.
Together. Should we go inside?
Nope. We shall stay outside.
Together?
Together.
You
Let me see
fortune.
Your hand. Oh, yes, yes, I'm a genius at it. What I say always comes true, too. A very interesting hand you have there.
So glad you like it.
You're going to live a long, long time.
I am.
And you're going to fall in love with a young doctor who is poor but ambitious. He has brown eyes, black curly hair, and a charming smile.
Like you.
Just like me.
And that's the truth?
That's the truth, Lucy. That's the gospel truth.
We didn't know even then, didn't we, Bob? We knew that the very first time we met, how it had to be between us. Perhaps we didn't know it yet with our minds, but we knew it in our hearts. Oh, it was such a wonderful summer, Bob. Do you suppose everyone who's in love feels the same lightness of heart, that same gaiety that we felt? I suppose they do. And I suppose to all of them, too, there comes the first quarrel as it came to us. We were at the seashore at the amusement park. We stood in front of a merry-go-round. I could see you getting annoyed. Then you became angry. And my heart got tighter and tighter with fear until it hurt dreadfully. My heart always does that when you get angry. Did you know that, Bob? You got very angry, and you finally burst out.
Well, where are they? Why can't people get places on time?
Maybe they've been delayed.
Obviously, they've been delayed. You sure this is the place we were to meet them?
Well, why do you keep asking that? Am I sure? Am I sure?
Well, because you have a way of getting things mixed up. It drives me crazy.
Why must you pick on me because people don't show up on time?
Well, they're your friends. Why do you have such irresponsible people as friends?
Why do you always have to be so demanding and precise? What do you think people are, machines? Can't you allow for any ordinary human faults and frailties? Can't you ever be understanding and sympathetic? Does everything have to go on schedule like an appendix operation?
Well, people should keep their appointments.
Oh, yes. People should never keep you waiting. But how many times have we had to wait for you?
Well, that's different. I'm a doctor. When patients are sick, I have to stay with them.
Oh, I'm not saying you don't. But if you have a good reason for being late sometimes, why can't you see that other people might have their reasons, too? Do you always have to be right, and do other people always have to be wrong? Maybe my friends are irresponsible. Maybe I do get things mixed up. Maybe I'm stupid and silly. But does that mean to be you have to be selfish and self-centered and inconsiderate? Does that mean everything has to go just as you want it, or you'll go off into a childish temper tantrum?
Well, I suppose not.
Bob? Well, aren't you going to talk to me now?
What do you want me to say?
Nothing. I don't want you to say anything. Bob, is it worth it?
Is what worth it?
For us to quarrel like this over nothing. Oh, Bob, there isn't enough time in a whole eternity for us to waste a moment quarreling with one another. Don't you understand, Bob? We've got to live each day perfectly and happily if our whole life together is going to be perfect and happy. We can't wait to be happy together tomorrow. We've got to be happy today.
Yeah, that's right.
Bob, listen. Our song. The song we first danced 2 months ago. Our song in a merry-go-round. Oh, Bob, come on, let's go ride in it.
Okay, darling. Let's go ride on it. Let's ride on every silly thing in the place. Just you and I together.
That was our first quarrel, Bob. It wasn't our last quarrel, but the others were different. We grew so close together that even our quarrels were like one person arguing with himself. They didn't mean anything, did they, Bob? I'm being sentimental again, but I want to remember all those things, Bob. The night on McKesson's porch, the first summer, the quarrels, all the happiness and conflict we've had. These things I want to remember always, always. Yes, above all, I want to remember our song, the way we heard it at the McKesson's party, and the way you bought Victrola records of it to play on the picnic, the way we sang it together on the long walks, the way we heard it played at the merry-ground, the way I sang it for you just before you left me yesterday. This has been a long, long letter, Bob, dearest, but it's the last, as well as the first, I will ever write to you. And before I finish it, I want to do just one more sentimental thing. I've cut off a little piece of my hair, and I'm going to put it inside the envelope because I want you to have some part of me near you, always. Then I'll fold this letter. I'll seal the flap, and I'll leave this room. I'll go out into the hall, and I'll go slowly down the stairs and into the front parlor. I'll walk among all the flowers they've sent you. And I'll go to where you're lying, so motionless, forever. Then I'll give you my love letter, Bob. I'll put it in your dear, still hand. And I'll look for the last time on your beloved face that will never more smile at me. On your closed eyes that will never more look upon me. And on your lips that will never more tell me that you love me. But I know you do still love me, Bob. I know you will love me always. Just as I will love you, my darling. Always. Always.
Thank you, Diana Barrymore, for a wonderful performance.
Oh, thank you, Jim. It was a pleasure playing opposite you. But now I'd like to meet Ray Block.
All right, Diana. Here he is.
Hello, Ray.
Hello, Diana.
Say, Ray, that Lou Parker, he's quite a man with the women.
Oh, yeah. I wish he'd help me with my girl. She doesn't even know I'm alive.
Oh, that's ridiculous, Ray. Show her your birth certificate.
Hello, Diana. I heard you were talking about me.
Lou
Hello.
Parker, this
right.
is Ray Block, the orchestra leader.
What are you doing out after dark?
Lou, Ray wants you to show him how to get along with his girl. He has a problem with her.
One look at him and I can see what his problem is.
Why don't you help him, Lou?
Okay, Diana, just for you. Now, look, Ray, I'll let you watch. Stand back, kid. Give me room.
Oh, gee, Mr. Parker, you're some Romeo. Would you come to my house and autograph my love seat?
Oh, break it up. Break it up. Let me know what you think. Let me know when you think you can handle it, Ray. Now, pay attention to this. Diana, make believe you're a girl walking down the street and I meet you. Now, Block, watch. You can always tell what dames think by the first thing they say. Well, hello, honey. How about you and me stepping out tonight?
Go fly a kite.
See that? She's dying for a date. Now, look at me, babe. What do you think?
Sir, I can't say that here.
You've locked the dame's nuts about me. Come here, baby.
Mr. Parker, I think I can handle it.
Take it easy, theme song. Right now, I wouldn't trust you with Cleopatra's grandmother. Now, you just watch the modern approach, Ray. So listen, baby, we're living in a new world, and there's going to be a lot of changes, baby.
I hope there'll be in you.
Yeah.
Mr. Parker, I think I can handle it.
Will you take it easy, Junior? Put your eyes back in your head. You look better that way. Well, at least you see better that way. Now watch, Ray, I'm going to get rough. Now, baby, for the last time, are you going to go out with me, yes or no?
No.
What went wrong, Mr. Parker?
I shouldn't have given her such a big choice. Oh, baby, you're gorgeous. What eyes. What lips. What a figure.
I think I can handle it.
All right, kid. You asked for it. Now, see what you can do with Diana, Ray. Attract her attention. Sort of whistle at her.
Hey, Diana, hey.
Look, you're not calling a cocker spaniel. Look, Ray, make believe I'm the date. I'm walking down the street, see? And you're standing on the corner, young and eager. Well, eager anyway. Now, here I come now.
Hiya, baby. Want to go to the garage and fix flats?
No. Not that way. What girl would fall for that?
A girl with a flat tire, Mike.
Now, look, Diana. I want Ray to imagine I'm beautiful, see? He's trying to impress me. This is real. He thinks I'm the only girl for him. He looks at my lovely face, looks into my lovely eyes, sighs, and what does he say?
You need a shave.
Yes, I guess you're right. Now, look, Ray, there's one great technique I have to show you, and that is the musical approach. It's foolproof.
That I can handle.
Well, good. You lead the orchestra, Ray, and you, Diana.
Well, as some of the Barrymores have said, that's all there is. There isn't any more.
My sincere thanks to you, Lou Parker, Noble and King, and Diana Barrymore. We'll be looking forward to your return visit real soon. So, once again, this visit to Hollywood's open house comes to an end. Our music is under the direction of Ray Block. Our script is by Lee Shane. The program is produced under the direction of Ray Green. This is Jim Amici inviting you to Hollywood's open house next week at this same time.